no boss hanging over you saying, hurry up, at all.
Really?
Really.
Mm. That's unusual, isn't it?
Different these days, isn't it? Definitely.
So what did the union propose or do about that?
They would, one shop would sort of challenge another one to boost production, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So that was something that the union actually organized, like as part of
sure.
social life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, sure.
And how did the workers react to that?
I don't remember, really, at this point, but I'm sure with the, there must have been affirmative response.
Was there any resentment from people, though, saying, well, you know, why is the union pushing us to produce?
No. After all, everything was for the war effort.
Was there a strong feeling about that?
Well, sure, what the heck? Your relatives were boyfriends, husbands, brothers, they were overseas, and you were worried. After all, you knew everything that was happening, and the millions of people being killed, you just wanted the bloody war over with.
In the beginning, though, people were somewhat critical of the war, though, right? Had there been some concern about whether or not it was a reasonable war to be into or being provoked? Or
there was some concern about it in the beginning. After all, I remembered the First World War, which was, who got anything out of that one, eh? However, finally we were into it and just had to go ahead and get it over with. It was obvious finally where Hitler was headed. Mm.
Yeah. So that was a factor with...
And don't forget that there were many in Canada who figured Hitler was great in government.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
A frightening thought, yeah.
And before the war, we were concerned. We could see that Japan was rearming, and I remember I wasn't old enough, but my sister was down on the docks here when they were picketing the ships going to Japan with scrap metal. Couldn't get too many people excited about it then. I mean, they made out it was sudden surprise about Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of people that weren't expecting it. Mm-hmm. You know what the hell was going on there. Mm-hmm. Fascism is fascism. Mm-hmm. And I guess Reagan today isn't. I'd be worried about him too.
So part of what was happening, I guess, was it mostly with more politically conscious people that there was a concern about fascism?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. What would the union do to educate people about the reasons for them, why they should support them?
Well, that was one reason why I wanted a center, because we had films and classes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Who would teach the classes?
They had people. Here it was the Workers' Education Association, WEA, and it had started in Toronto. An office was opened here. John Wigdor was the person involved, and I ended up marrying my sister, as a matter of fact.
Well, that's me.
Yeah. So, I'm trying to remember the other chap. However, what it finally turned into was the Trade Union Research Bureau. He was the first director of that, in effect.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was joined with Bert Mark Hughes and then Emma Bjarnason.
So they would provide union education?
Mm-hmm.
What about politics within the union? Was We've talked about union education, but what about political education? Is that a factor as well? Do people do that at the time?
They're so concerned, I guess, mainly about the production and the war effort. That was the main push at all times. But those were the us who were very political.
What
that
about
was the most important thing.
On the union leadership, were most people politically conscious?
Oh, when I was first there, no. But there were some real twits on the union executive for a while. However, things changed.
How did they change? What happened?
Well, other people with better ideas ran and were able to get elected.
Which suggests that something was happening in the membership there too, then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was the turnout like for union meetings?
Oh, a lot depended, as it does today, what's the issue as to whether there was a big turnout. And then you had to have day meetings and you had to have night meetings too.
Of course, because of the shift.
The shift. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But there was a real effort to try to keep everybody informed. The fact that they had their own newspaper was very important, because that went to everybody.
What was the shop steward structure? Was there one?
Oh, a very strong shop steward structure.
How did it operate?
Yeah. There were constant shop steward meetings, and I think that by that time the executive certainly realized and helped to see that it happened, that this is the guts of your organization. Strong shop stewards. Make sure that they're aware of all the issues. They're in there doing the job.
What would the stewards do on that kind of daily basis?
They're working on the floor, trying to keep track of all the new people arriving and signing people up.
Were you ever on the executive?
Finally, I think I was allowed on as the social convener or whatever it was.
How large was the executive, remember?
Let me see. I'm having difficulty remembering the size of my committee and the size of the executive. I don't recall.
That's okay.
Oh, creeps. Yes.
You're young, very young.
I was very young. I always hated it. Nobody ever believed me when I said I was when I was 21.
21. I think that kind of counts as, in my mind, as very young. Although when I was 21, I never thought so.
I knew when I was 21, that was it. I knew everything. As everybody does know. 18, what the heck, no.
Were there other women on the executive?
Mm-hmm.
And what?
Just a minute.
Okay.
I'll say yes so quickly. I think Ruth Bregman. Oh, was she a shop steward? I can't remember. I'll have to backtrack on that one. I'm not sure.
And do you remember what kind of discussions would the executive have?
I can't recall at this point.
How about your family? How did they feel about you being active in the union?
At that point, my mother had gone to Ottawa to work again for war work. She got a job. So my sister at that point had married, but she was in Toronto. I was on my own boarding.
Mm.
Yeah. Actually, when my mother left, it was all done so quickly that I was left to dispose of the family furniture in the end, and found a place to board not too far from where we'd be living.
Right. And what about your dad, the sister?
He went and boarded someplace else.
What about your friends? How do they feel about you leaving your son?
Actually, they were at university. They went on with university. And the friends I had in school that I went to my first year of university with. So, right. So then my friends became the people I worked with at Boeing. Good working class tips.
Right. So how did your life change? Did it change?
Mm-hmm. Sure. It was complete change. But I liked it.
What about, we were talking about the executive and how there were, it was kind of a, not a very strong executive, and it became strong. And I'm just wondering about, political consciousness of people in the executive. Were they actually affiliated with groups like the CCF or the LPP, or were they more independent? So what was the composition of the executive?
I can't. I really couldn't tell you that. Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Is there anything else about Bonds that you think should be mentioned that's important? You might remember things later.
I just remember it as a very, very busy time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess it was in the earlier stages of organizing. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of on the way up.
Let's just skip to the period where you became a social worker in BC.
Mm-hmm.
Who were you working for then?
Provincial government, Department of Welfare, I suppose.
Okay.
And at that time, they administered relief or social assistance, as it's called, mother's allowances and old age pensions. And we worked out of the old Vancouver at one time was different municipalities, you know, they elected their own little council. So there was Municipal Hall at 41st and Fraser, where John Oliver, is it John, J.O.?
Is yeah.
There now? Okay. So that was the unit that I worked out of. And you had a caseload. The main problem was that they didn't have enough money to live on. Anybody who reached the age of 70, after all, you had to be 70 to get an old age pension at that time, had to prove their age, that they were in need. And I just wasn't cut out for that kind of work. I mean, they'd come in, you know, tears, and it was ridiculous. They felt as though, you know, they were getting handout and charity. And look, it worked all your lives. So they were getting $25 a month. And mother's allowance was $35 plus $7.50 a month for each additional child, for each child. Social assistance, the total amount was $26.50. If you were with your family, then you just got $19 a month for food. So it was a $7.50 allowance per bag.
So do you remember what cost of living were at all at that time?
Well, it's just as bad as it is today, what they're handing them. Or you just can't live, really, you're not living on it.
What was the attitude towards people in need from the government then?
It's probably as bad as it is today.
Yeah. So what would they say?
Well, finally, as far as in social work, you know, you're supposed to be a great you're all this psychology crap. So my supervisor used to say, Miss Dunbar, you noticed so-and-so was late for their appointment. What was the underlying reason for that? I said, well, I guess they didn't have enough money for car fare and they had to walk. Frown, frown, wrong answer. I never accepted any practical thing like that. So, yeah, so we're for $125 a month, which made me feel very guilty when I saw all these poor people try to live on this. Oh, this is ridiculous. And we had a free streetcar pass because you did all your visiting by streetcar and walking. Mm-hmm. Yes, so, well, the last thing on Boeing's, I think I still have the last card, and they indicated there was always a little space, wish to rehire or do not wish to rehire. They made you